All right, guys. Well, I'm very excited to have on the Meaningful Connection podcast, Dr. Paul H. Jenkin. He's the author of Pathological Positivity and also Portable Positivity. And I just thought he'd be a great guest for the show. He's got a really great background in psychotherapy and also just the positivity movement. So he's also the host of Live on Purpose Radio, which is a podcast that's been going for, I guess, over 13 years now.
We started it in 2007.
Yeah.
Which is before podcasting was even a thing.
Cool. Well, so thanks so much for taking time to take time out of your day to come on my little podcast. I really appreciate it.
Oh, David, it's my pleasure and honor. I'm excited to see what we can do to improve some meaningful connections here.
Okay, awesome. Well, give us a little bit of the backstory. How did Dr. Paul become Dr. Paul? And give us the backstory.
Well, and how far back should I go? I was born at a very early age. We won't go back that far, but I'm a professional psychologist. And when I started my career, I went the traditional route. I got the PhD in clinical psychology. I set up a general outpatient child and adolescent clinic style practice and, you know, build the insurance companies, did the treatment plans, did a little bit of yuck work along the way.
And actually,
you know what? I think that that's relevant because the yuck work I'm referring to was 13 years where I was doing child custody evaluations for the court. These are bitter, angry, divorcing people who can't figure out how to share their kids. And the court would send me into the middle of that to try to figure out, okay, what's going to be best for the kids. Yuck work.
Yeah.
I saw some of the nastiest stuff you can imagine, but that has helped me to understand some of the underlying principles that I think we'll get to in today's conversation. The short version, David, about 15 years ago, I made a big transition in my career over to positive psychology, which is what I do exclusively now.
Okay.
If you think of your mental health, your relationships on a spectrum or a continuum, clear over on the left end is the sick end. Okay. That's where we have diagnosis, pathology, treatment. I'm really more passionate about the other end of this thing.
Okay.
To understand that, if you go to the middle first, the middle is health, meaning not sick. You can be sick in bed with a fever, thrown up. There comes a time you can get out of bed. You're not sick. That doesn't mean you're truly fit, thriving, prospering. That's over at this other end of the spectrum.
Okay, so if I'm simplifying this idea, it's kind of like you've got, you know, terrible on the one end to good, you know, and that was kind of the first half of your career, we'll say.
Yeah.
And then more lately, it's been, let's go from good to great or good to, good to great.
Yeah, if we can borrow that from Jim Collins, we'll just steal it.
Okay. Yeah. TM.
But you're right. I mean, just because you can get out of bed doesn't mean you're fit, thriving, and prospering. And there's some overlap in the middle. I moved my practice from that left end of the spectrum over here to the other end, but there's some overlap in the middle because everybody's got issues. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed?
Oh, absolutely. I'm no exception myself.
Exactly. So we deal with those according to principle. And that's the idea. We want to identify the principles that allow us to move as far to that prospering end as possible in our relationships, in our connections with other people. In our own mental health.
I also think I like the idea that there is a great to strive for. I think that getting yourself from sick to not dying or not unhealthy isn't a great motivating goal for some people like myself. I want to, how can I make my marriage the best marriage I can make it? How can I make my relationship with the kids the best it can possibly be? That's a little more motivating than just like, how can I make it not suck? That makes sense, right?
Exactly. And I shared with you before we started the mic that psychotherapy sounds a little like therapy for psychos.
Yeah.
And so some of the things that we could really benefit from that we've learned in the industry of psychology and mental health, people aren't wanting to sign up for that because, oh, what does that mean if I'm seeing a shrink?
Right.
Right. So we're trying to leave all of those taboos behind, take the principles that allow us to get out of bed and apply those to get us to the top of the mountain.
So tell us a little bit about those principles. I'm sorry, I'm jumping a little bit ahead from the
origin. No, that's fine.
But I'm just so curious about what are those principles if you could kind of enumerate them or a quick overview, what are some of the principles that apply to the full spectrum and, but namely, have really helped people go from good to exceptionally yes. meaningful connected?
And it probably makes sense, David, before we jump into that, to identify, okay, what do we mean by principles?
Okay.
And principles in my mind are natural laws. Like gravity. You never get up in the morning and think, huh, I wonder if gravity's on today.
Right.
It tends to be. And so if you jump from the top of a tall cliff, what's going to happen? And is that sometimes or every time? Is that for sure or maybe? This is what principles are all about. Well, what if you're standing at the top of that cliff and you're thinking, gravity, whatever, I don't believe in that crap. And then you jump. Same splat as the believers. And that's how we know that it's a principle. Because whether you believe in it or not, it's going to affect you. Your understanding of principles and your application of those principles in your life is what keeps you from running off of cliffs. The principle's already there. So we got to get familiar with what those principles are. And so what are the principles? It starts for me with understanding the proper operation of the equipment of your own mind, because it's your mind that is driving not only your own mental health, but your relationships, the way you communicate with others, the way you handle your business. It's all up here in your mind. And so I've developed a model. This is what my mini book is all about, Portable Positivity. We go into this model where I want to raise people's awareness. I love that my job is illuminating the obvious. And think about that, David. I mean, this is so cool. I get paid to tell people things they already know.
Yeah.
But there's obvious things that are completely unnoticed. Like the feeling of your shirt. Can you feel it now?
Yep.
Now that I've mentioned it, or the fact that we're speaking English, did you notice? It's obvious, but unnoticed. And most of what's going on in our own mind, in our own psychology, is in that space. So my job is to call it to people's attention, because once you become aware of what's going on in your own mind, that puts you back into a position of choice and control. And there's two obvious but unnoticed processes that are going on all the time. This is where I always start with my clients. And this is based on principle. Okay. So getting back to your question, what are the principles? The principles that operate in our mind, here's one of the processes that I want you to be aware of. It's called evaluation. Or another word we could use is judgment. Okay. Notice that you're constantly judging yourself, your spouse, your circumstances, the government, the economy, the pandemic.
And you're judging me. Judgment in the sense of like a moral good or bad, somewhere on the spectrum between good and bad, or good for me.
Yeah. Is this good? Is this bad? Is this hard? Is this easy? Is this big? Is this small?
Yeah.
We're constantly making those judgments. Now, the word evaluation implies comparison with some standard.
Mm-hmm.
So how can you know if it's good or bad unless you compare it to something else, right?
Right.
I ask people all the time, especially if I'm in person with them, am I a tall man? David, you've never met me personally. So how are you going to answer that question?
It's tricky over Zoom. I gotta figure it out on the basis of the door behind you and the window. I'm going to guess. I'd be making only an educated guess.
But I can change the perspective on you too, right?
Totally.
I put a little picture in my mini book that helps people to make this judgment. And in this picture, I'm standing next to Mark Eaton, who is 7'4". And next to Mark, I look like a shrimp. I'm 6'2".
Right.
Okay. Yeah. But next to Mark, I look like a shrimp. He still holds one of the top shot blocking records in the NBA at 7'4". Now, am I a tall man or not?
It's all relative, I guess, at the end of the day, right?
Well, and it depends on, see, your answer to that depends on who or what you compare me to.
Yep.
So we look at our circumstances. You look at your marriage, for example. Okay. And this is a trick question, David. I warned you.
I don't like marriage trick questions, sir.
Trick question. How's your marriage? Now, it's a trick question because you've got some answer to that. But really, your answer to that depends on what you're comparing your marriage to. And I told you I went through 13 years of yuck work in my practice evaluating families for child custody. I've heard some of the darndest things you can imagine. I probably shouldn't taint your mind with all of this, but I remember one family I worked with where he had an affair with her mother.
Ooh.
I know, right? And how's your marriage?
Feels fantastic.
Hey, I got to go home every day feeling like, man, I am the most blessed man on the planet. My marriage rocks, and I have the best marriage I know of. But I've compared it to a lot of really bad ones before, too. But do you see where I'm going with that?
Yep.
Your marriage, your health, your finances, your situation in life, it is what it is. And that's an annoying phrase when you hear it from some people. It is what it is.
Sometimes the tautology is just a tautology.
Well, it simply is what it is. It could always be better. It could always be worse. And the model that I've designed helps you to see that in your mind, when you're evaluating your life, your circumstances, your relationships, what it is always between better and worse. And you can imagine either side. So pick a side. And we're not done with evaluation because the other process I want you to see is called creation. And we can't turn this one off either, any more than we can turn off gravity or our judgment. Creation is how we as creative beings engage in whatever's coming. Okay. How are you doing next week? You don't know.
Yeah, I won't know until next week, I guess.
You don't know. You've got something to do with it, but you don't know. David, what if I gave you an assignment to go out there today in the next half hour, see if you can make your life worse?
I'm sure I can figure something out.
Right? Yep. It wouldn't even take a half hour.
Yep.
This illustrates a point. You're not going to go out there and make your life worse. Not on purpose. I mean, we do it accidentally all the time. But notice that you've got the power to do it, and it wouldn't even take a half hour. This is so important. We have to tap into our creative power because we're going to go make something. Now, if you can make it worse, guess what else you could make it?
Probably make it better, yeah.
You totally could make it better. We don't always connect with this because better requires effort. Worse, all you have to do is let go of whatever's keeping it where it is, right? I mean, You think about your exercise plan, your diet. If you let go of those things, what direction does it go? Right?
Yep.
Default is down. Elevation requires effort. And so when we get into creative mode, it's easy to identify, well, it would be hard to make things better. Well, yeah. That's Newton's second law of thermodynamics. The entropy, things always go to a more disorganized state unless you apply some kind of intentional effort to move that up. So
yeah, that is a creative process. It's creating order out of chaos, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So notice that you're constantly judging and notice that you're constantly creating. And you use the same imagination to do both. So if you want to improve a relationship, there's a paradox, okay? And no surprise, I mean, some of the things that we deal with are kind of paradoxical. You're judging that relationship already. The best way to improve a relationship is to realize or take a position that you don't have to. It's already good. And this is a paradox. Just imagine a couple comes to my office. Okay. And she's saying, man, this sucks. This relationship has to change. He's doing this and that, and it's not okay. Okay, how's he feeling?
Pretty bad.
Beat up.
Yep.
Right? Motivated to change? Not particularly. What if we change that scenario and she's like, man, my life is better because he's in it. Now, how's he feeling?
He's a little more open-minded to what she has to say next.
Little, I'd say. Yeah. So the defensiveness isn't there. It's kind of like when my oldest son returned from a volunteer missionary trip that he did for 2 years. He's 21 years old, and he comes home and he wants to buy a car. He doesn't have credit. He doesn't have money. He doesn't even have a job. And we go down to Mountain America Credit Union, right here on 800 East, where I've been banking for years, to sign him up for a little auto loan. It was $3,000, I think, for this little used car. Well, he didn't qualify for the loan, right? I throw my hat in the ring. I'm like, hey, how about if I co-sign on that loan? Then can we get the $3,000? And I play with people's minds, David. I'm a shrink, right? I already knew what was going to happen, but this poor little loan officer, she looks up my information. She gets this dark look on her face and she says, sir, that makes it worse. I'd been through a bankruptcy 2 years previous. I knew I didn't qualify 5 cents, but I gave her another option. I reached into my jacket. I pulled out $3,000, put it on the table and slid it over next to her. How about if I lend you the $3,000, you lend it to my son and let me co-sign on the loan? Because I wanted to build my credit back up. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh yeah, we can give you good rates on that. Right. Yeah, right. Thanks for the good rates on my own money.
Right, exactly. Right? Yeah.
But what I learned from that is the paradox that we often run into in psychology and especially in relationships. You can get the loan as soon as you prove you don't need the money.
Yep.
This is so true in relationships. When you start from a place of gratitude and abundance, just consider how richly abundant your marriage in this case already is. And see, this goes contrary to what the world of psychology does. It's like, okay, what's wrong? Where's the problem, or who is the problem? Drives me nuts because it makes things worse. When you start from a place of gratitude and abundance, we can go get an upgrade all day long. Okay. There's tons of ways you could upgrade or improve your marriage. But you start from a place of, man, this is good. And that changes the energy then that we take to the creation mode. And that gets really fun. So
yeah,
I'll get behind your upgrade all day long. The hardest thing I have to do is convince you don't need one.
And one thing I do find personally is if I'm in a bad state of mind, if I'm in a negative state of mind, it's almost impossible to create or visualize something and bring something to fruition creatively. If I'm starting from that perspective.
Yes. Something positive, you mean? Mm-hmm. Because I have people all the time, they come in and they're like, oh, my job sucks and my boss is this and that and the kids are driving me crazy. And then they go home and yell at their spouse and kick the dog. They're making it worse, actually.
Yeah.
With that energy. Mm-hmm. But if they come from a place of gratitude and abundance, then there's all kinds of directions we can go in the creative mode to make an upgrade.
Okay.
Here's a little brain hack. In fact, all of you who are listening to the podcast, you can try this. I call it better by 8. Okay. We already established that you could go make your life worse in the next half hour. Mm-hmm. What if you just look at 8 o'clock? I'm not talking next week, next month, or next year. I'm talking 8 o'clock, which is coming. Can you find something? It could be a little thing or a big thing. I don't care. To make your life better by 8. Now, what is your mind doing as I invite you to do that?
just thinking of getting together with friends. I'm thinking about, I don't really need any devices, but maybe there's a device that can make my life better.
Maybe,
you know, maybe there's a piece of communication I need to send to, you know, someone that's made a positive impact on me. Thank them. You know, that came to mind.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Just thinking about,
Look at all the ideas that came just from that little prompt. Okay. And we're not talking next week. We're talking 8 o'clock. And if you were to do one or more of those things, what would happen to your life today, David?
I think it would be better.
Yeah. On purpose. By your own creative efforts. Now, it does take some effort. But what if you were to do that for 5 days in a row? Just practice better by 8. And there's 2 8 o'clocks every day for those who don't get up early.
That's only one for me, but yeah.
That way you get to have 10 upgrades in the next 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
That, and just consider how that feels. Now, what if you were to do that with a key relationship that you have? You know, as we, I love the theme of your podcast, Meaningful Connection. And what if you just picked one of those key relationships and you practiced better by 8? Is there something you can do for that relationship? What if it's your health? Is there something you could do for your health before 8 o'clock? What about your finances, your business? See, this breaks it down into a very chewable chunk.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think about the ways they want to improve their life and it's overwhelming. And it's like, oh, I could never do all of that. Well, just better by 8.
Yeah.
And then we make those incremental steps toward the upgrades that we don't even need because our life already rocks.
I'd like to take a short sponsor break to tell you about the company I founded, Bunky Life. What we're famous for are small log cabin kits called Bunkies that can be easily built in a weekend without needing a permit or a second mortgage. I've also authored the book, Bunky Life, Extra Space. Ultimately, we're in the business of helping families create extra space for more meaningful connection. And you can find out more at bunkylife.com. To see if your family might be ready for the Bunky Life, take the free 5-minute quiz at bunkylife.com/quiz. That's bunkylife.com/quiz. And now back to the show.
So if I'm summarizing the principles there, I'm sorry to get back to principles. So there's the evaluation or the judgment principle, which is choose a framework or a frame of reference, maybe is a better way of putting it, that is like, hey, we're already good. We're going to try to go from good to better, right? This isn't a disaster that we're trying to pull out of a flaming dumpster fire. This is a good situation. We're trying to improve. Is that a good way of summarizing that principle?
That's a good summary. And when you think about the geographical distance you have to cover, let's go back to that continuum from it sucks to it rocks. And what it is right in the middle. Mm-hmm. What's the shortest distance to better? If we start from, hey, this is good. Or if we start from, man, this sucks. And the thing that most people don't realize is you get to choose your starting point. Because this is good is based on your judgment compared to something worse. It really is good.
Yeah.
But this sucks is also based on your judgment. And compared to something better, it really does suck. So pick a position. And the position you pick determines how far you have to go to get to better.
That's a great point. So practically speaking, should we be watching Jerry Springer? How do we get these negative saying? Like, where do you go to now that you're not doing child custody battles? Where do you go to get your frame of references there to have that positive comparison frame of reference?
There are frames of reference all around you. And when you start looking around and realize how you're judging, and honestly, I am not here to tell you how to think. I don't have that kind of authority. I just want you to see that you are thinking. And so if you conclude, oh, my life is so hard, really? I had a young man sitting right here next to me on my podcast a couple of years ago. His name is Gabriel Adams. The title of that episode, No Arms, No Legs, No Problem. The dude is 21 years old. He has no arms and no legs. wait a minute, how many limbs do you have? And they all work. Yep. See, we don't often realize when we say my life is hard, really, compared to what? Look around you and see that it's easier than some and harder than others. That's all I'm asking you to notice.
Yeah.
And then you choose your position based on what serves you best.
That's insightful. Okay, so I think I have a good handle on that principle now. I think I've got a lot to think about there. What other principles do you kind of advocate for?
Well, interesting, when it comes to relationships, here's the biggest problem that I've noticed. In fact, a buddy of mine captured this in the title of his book. His name is Brett Williams. His book title is, You Can Be Right or You Can Be Married.
Okay.
No, he gets a lot of mileage out of that title. But the reason why I think that's insightful is because the number one thing that gets in the way of meaningful connections and positive, joyful relationships is that we know that we're right. And David, it's not even that we think that we're right. We know we are. And knowing we're right has us digging in our heels and taking positions that cause conflict with other people. And so the remedy for that, and this is the principle that immediately came to my mind when you asked what other principles are there. Humility is one of 9 principles that I go over with couples, if I'm doing couples coaching, for example. But I also use it in family coaching. I also use it in leadership coaching with corporate groups, okay? And these 9 principles, one of them is humility. Humility, I define as giving up our need to be right in exchange for being open. And you think about the difference there, okay? Giving up our need to be right in exchange for being open. This probably is going to change more relationships than any other principle I could grab right out of the chute. Because of the way it changes the way we approach the situation. You think about any conflict that you've had recently. What's it about? And usually it's about who's right, not what's right. What's right is about principle. Let's figure out gravity here. But who's right gets in the way and has us conflicting with each other.
I'm going to try to say that back to you and make sure I've grasped the idea. So humility is essentially saying I'm open to the idea that I'm wrong here, I guess, in a nutshell. But it's giving up the idea of like I need to be personally justified in this and saying, okay, like let's collaborate on what is the right scenario or what is right. And I can still have my feelings involved. Maybe I feel hurt. Maybe I feel embarrassed, maybe I feel whatever emotion I feel. I can feel that way, but that doesn't mean that I'm objectively right because I have these negative feelings.
Right. As you were summarizing that for me, I was recalling a TED talk by Catherine Schultz on being wrong. And she asked the audience, how does it feel to be wrong? And you can imagine what some of the answers were. Oh, it's embarrassing. It's hard. It's difficult. I don't like it. And she said, actually, you're describing what it feels like to find out that you're wrong. What does it feel like to be wrong? Well, it feels just like being right until you find out.
That is insightful. Yeah.
And that's Catherine Schultz. You can go watch her on TED.
Yeah.
I think that's so powerful. Because knowing that we're right has us taking a position that creates conflict. If we're willing to be humble and give up our need to be right in exchange for being open, we have a lot higher chance of actually connecting with people in really meaningful ways.
That is true. I think that when I think about my wife and I, we're both kind of relatively competent, get things done kind of people.
Yeah.
And, as the person that I need to be the leader of, like, hey, I could be wrong here. And when I let my guard down and be like, hey, I could be wrong. I'm having this intense feeling about this conversation, but
yeah,
feelings aren't necessarily the truth. And have the humility to say, hey, maybe I'm not right here. The dialogue opens up. We can discuss the actual, you know, where is reality occurring here? And you know, what is, like you say, what direction is gravity going here? And we can have that, and we can figure out the facts, get to the core of the problem without it being like, exactly like you said, trying to, I'm right. And who is right. That is a fruitless battle when you really think about it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Well, there's other principles that we could obviously get into and discuss, but I think what it comes back to for me is identify what are the principles that allow me to get different outcomes. And I believe that all of life's outcomes are determined by some underlying principle. And that's why we spend a lot of time here at Live on Purpose trying to identify, okay, what are the principles? What are the principles at play? And how can I adjust my own life or behavior so that I'm not running off of cliffs, but I'm using that principle to support the outcomes that I'm trying to create here. And humility is just one of those. Mm-hmm. So that's a good one, though.
Yeah.
If we could approach our relationships with that level of humility, again, giving up our need to be right in exchange for being open, that's going to save some relationships right there.
Yep. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, really, I think that is insightful. I'm going to be mulling over this for the next until 8 o'clock. I'll be mulling this over absolutely tonight.
Just until eight.
Yes. Yeah. So tell us if people need to find more about your books and your work, what's the best way to do so?
There's a number of ways that they can connect. Most people are connecting to me right now through YouTube. If you go to YouTube and look up Live on Purpose TV and click subscribe, if you like the content there, we're putting out videos a couple of times a week. There's another video coming out about some of the principles that allow us to do exactly what we've talked about here. And that's probably one of the best ways. I've also got a website, drpauljenkins.com. That's spelled with a DR. And over on the website, you can connect to getting a free copy of my book if you'd like, or seeing some of the other things that we have going on that end. So I'd say those are probably the two best ways to connect.
Yep, that makes sense. Oh, awesome. Well, so I guess before we wrap things up, what in your mind are the key ingredients or the best way to get towards meaningful connection? If you have someone in your life, a family member, a friend, or a child, or a parent even, if you could encapsulate, what strategy would you recommend to someone that's trying to deepen, go from good to great with someone that really means a lot to them? They want to have deeper, more meaningful connection.
Mm-hmm. I think to summarize it, to come down to the nitty gritty, is to do the uncomfortable work. And this has to do with the humility we're talking about, because a lot of times, if there's some kind of a barrier or a roadblock to moving that relationship forward, it usually comes back to some level of, I'm right. And if you can give that up and humbly be open and give up your need to be right in exchange for being open, I think it puts you in a whole different position with that relationship, and be willing to do the uncomfortable work, which might mean a sincere apology, or it might mean that you initiate the conversation that you've been waiting for them to initiate. Be willing to be a little uncomfortable, and that takes some humility. But I think that's where my mind would go with that if I were to sum it up.
Yeah, I think that's a really good advice. Well, Dr. Paul, we really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for your insights. I'm going to be thinking about the Better Before Eight, and maybe we'll be reporting the results as well.
Awesome.
And thank you so much for taking the time.
You're so welcome. It's been an honor and a pleasure for me to join you here. Thanks for your good work as well.
Okay. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you've learned a lot, but beyond just mere intellectual entertainment, I hope it's changed the way you see relationships and inspired you to take action and make a connection with someone in your life today. Do it. I'd love to hear about it. And you can always email me directly at david@funkylife.com with the subject Meaningful Connection. Love to hear your stories.